Well, you had one thing you held up. Scripture is going to show me six reasons. If I could give you one reason why unequal yokes would bring discouragement and despair, that would be, one would be enough. If Scripture only gave me one reason. But I want you to look at verse 14. The middle of verse 14, fellowship is contrasted with unrighteousness. Mark fellowship. That's the first. Second part of the verse, communion and darkness. 15, concord and Belial. What part had he that believeth with an infidel? 16, agreement, temple of God with idols. That's a lot of reasons. Those are a lot of reasons to believe what God has said. Now, what can I do practically speaking? There's a lot of ways to learn a lesson, young men and young women. I can learn from Scripture, or I can learn the hard way. I can learn and bow to the authority of the Word of God. Be ye not unequally yoked together. Or I can say, you know, I love her. I mean, he's so sweet, though. He's such a nice guy. And he's so cool. And she looks, have you seen her ponytails? And I mean, you can talk yourself into all these things. Listen, in all your talking, come back to the Word of God. Be ye not. It won't work. It won't work. And the Lord says, I want you to take my word for it. Don't be a statistic. Don't be one of the many that have found the heartbreak and the agony of that which your parents cannot fix for you. The brethren in the meeting cannot come and fix it. The sisters, those your friends that were so dear to you, they can't fix it. It's a disaster, isn't it, when it takes place? But it won't take place without the activity of your will. Oh, how we want to see that.
I think it's also, we've been applying it a lot to, in terms of relationships in a marriage setting, but it's also good to point out that it applies with any relationship.
Sure,
The Scripture is not necessarily speaking of marriage in this context. The Scripture just says unbelievers in general. In this day and age, things like entrepreneurship and business agreements and so forth, those are big things. Everybody wants to be their own boss and this and that. And it's easy to say, to hook up with somebody that has the same idea as you. I have a lot of people that approach me and, let's open up an IT consultant with together. And I have to sit back and I have to think I can make a lot of money doing this, but is this person a believer? And it's easy to get, wrapped up. Even just simple things like your friends, your best friends, whatever it might be, whatever relationships we have in general, on a school level, on a business level, on a marital level, whatever it might be, because we take it to say, I could be friends with this person, but I just won't marry them. Or I'll be business partners, or I'll be co-workers with the person, but I won't be a business partner with them or whatever it might be. And it's not, and I don't think it's a matter of saying, let me just not speak to anybody that's an unbeliever. But I think it's a matter of where the bond comes in, that we have to take that in consideration, because of the fact that anybody that we're not walking together and we have a like mind, that person could bring you down. That person could drag you down. So I think it's a good point to bring out that it's not just in a marriage setting that this takes place, but in any relationship, in any social agreement that we might have between one or more people, that we have to take this into consideration.
I have a quick question. Is it possible for two Christians to be unequally yoked? like, say that if there's a new believer or something and, you know, you're still Christians, or say that one's Catholic, has different beliefs, but they're still, you know, saved, you know, believes that Jesus died on the cross for them. Is that considered unequally yoked?
I would believe so.
I have two verses I can share.
Good.
Again, this is practically speaking. I'm not going to say it applies in every case, but Exodus chapter 2 and verse 1. And the second one is actually one that we talked about yesterday. It says in Exodus 2, verse 1, there was a man, there went a man of the house of Levi, and he took a wife, a daughter of Levi. Very simple. But there were 11 other tribes. He could have probably taken one from any one of the other tribes, and they would have just as well been one of God's people. However, there was, as you know, the tribes had different responsibilities, and they had different, I don't want to say beliefs, but they had different responsibilities. They had different things that they had to do. And so I've taken this verse as one that helps show me, you know, where I believe the Lord would have us to be in relation to that. Because there are those that are certainly godly Christians and Catholic or any other denomination for that matter. But I think it could become dangerous, because we've seen what Samson, you know, what somebody could do. They can lead your way. So I'm not saying it's always not going to work, but I would just caution us to be careful. And I just want to read one other verse in Judges. And yesterday we had it in chapter. I'm just making application. I'm not saying this is the exact interpretation of the verses. But when Samson asked for the wife in Judges chapter 14, verse 3. His father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people? So it seems to me like the first circle was thy brethren, and then the circle got wider and said, all my people, all God's people. So that's just a suggestion.
Let's put these verses, though, in their interpretation. The question you're asking obviously can't have reference to this verse, because you said they're both believers. And this is a link or a yoke between a believer and an unbeliever. Now, the question then that I come back to in the case that you're bringing, is it the will of the Lord? Did these two people follow the directive will of God? That's what we get into there, where one very well may be a real believer, but a member of something that when you marry that person, your life's going to be miserable, because you're going to be going two different ways. So one is the directive will of the Lord. What we're looking at here is believers marrying unbelievers. Does that help you? It's not an unequal yoke in the sense if they're both believers, but it's certainly difficult to imagine that the Lord would bring two people of such diversity in his directive will together in a life that's going to be nothing but conflict.
So are you saying it's not worth taking, or is it?
I don't think you can make a rule.
That's right. I'm not going to make a rule.
Those examples to show something
sure
that the Lord has. And I thought of one other example. I think it's, and maybe somebody can help me out. Is it in Nehemiah where they grew up speaking two different languages? They didn't know the language.
Right.
The mixed marriage, and the children didn't know which language to speak. So, you know, if you marry somebody from Catholic Church, she might want to stay there. You go to the meeting.
Yeah.
The children get raised. What do you tell them? You know. So, and it's possible she might come over. That would be wonderful. It's possible you might go there. That would not be as good. So I think we just have to be careful. But ultimately, if the Lord's will, it's the Lord's will, and he'll bring it to pass. And I think everything we've been saying still applies, that we need to really know the Lord's will for the right person. But I think we need to be careful.